The Spinoff Podcast Network.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spinoff. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spinoff member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Nair is public interest journalism funded through New Zealand On Air.
Nā mai, haere mai, whakatau mai rā, he kōna iburangi tēnei pāna ki te ao Māori, me te ao hurihuri. I'm Leonie Hayden, this is a podcast about being Māori in the modern world. This week, we're celebrating the 40th anniversary of Te Reo News Bulletin Te Karere. Tell me, do you even care what goes on behind the scenes in Māori media? Welcome to Nē. This week marks the 40th anniversary of Te Karere, first appearing on air, the first Māori language news bulletin on television in Aotearoa. It started as a two-minute daily bulletin hosted by Matua Derek Fox, who also founded Mana magazine. And that was supposed to be a couple of news stories from the main bulletin on TVNZ, just translated into Te Reo. Matua Derek and co knew that Māori news looked and sounded very different, and they created a broadcast that was for whānau, hapū and iwi Māori. And so many of our awesome kairīpuata came through that show, including one of our manuhiri on the podcast today. So one of the questions for today really is, how much has changed in 40 years? Now, one of our older manuhiri on the podcast once said that one of the most brilliant things about being Māori is our ability to bring both joy and grief into the same space. And for me, that is how I feel a bit about being Māori in media. I've been here for about 10 years. When I tell you, I have way too much to say on the subject. However, I'll start with one immutable fact. Media here in Aotearoa, since the first newspaper was created in the 1830s, has acted consciously and unconsciously as propaganda for white supremacy. This is what I have learned working in media. A second truth I've come to understand is that when you try to shift the lens of journalism from that to a Māori one, some people in this country get very, very mad. On the other hand, I also know the incredible difference that we can make in media. We bring important new knowledge, mātauranga, we change minds and hearts, and we help people feel seen and understood. We raise up hāpori Māori. So, you know, how have things changed? A lot has changed. Last year, the Broadcasting Standards Authority announced it's no longer considering any complaints about the use of Te Reo Māori. Yes, that was a big enough issue they had to formally announce it. I mean, imagine hearing like a handful of sentences in a language you don't understand and thinking that that's what persecution is. A lot more public money has been released to support Māori journalism, not just media in Te Reo Māori, but that also supports Māori whakaaro and capacity building in media. There are more of us in mainstream spaces on big networks, even sporting moho kauai, kia ora orini kaipara. But we still get way less of everything than everyone else. Less pūtea, less respect, less airtime, smaller audiences. Our iwi radio network is underfunded. Most of our TV current affairs shows are made by smaller production teams who do a lot with a lot less pūtea than their network contemporaries. We have to watch on helplessly when larger Reo Pākehā media companies trample on the mana of Māori for the 40 millionth time for clicks. Like that Hōhai's survey run by Stuff recently that asked if politicians should use the, quote, race card. Like I said, grief and joy. Because on the other hand, that all said, I absolutely love being a journalist. So we're here to talk about both sides. Mostly we're interested today in our apōpōtanga, the future, what happens next and who is shaping that. So we have on the podcast two incredible media makers who are working really hard to make sure the next generation don't have to put up with the same shit, iho mā. To find out who they are, we'll see you after the break. Hoki mai anō. Welcome back. I'm joined by my co-host, Te Kuru o Te Marama Dews. Mirianna sends her apologies, he māwiwi ia. So, kia ora, Te Kuru. Kei te pēhia?
Oh, kia ora. Tēnā koe. Kei te pai. Kei te ora. Aye. Haven't caught COVID yet, so feeling pretty good. Still got a job.
Well done, well done. Te Kuru and I are joined today by two very special manuhiri. We're joined by, first of all, Mahingarangi Forbes. She's the award-winning host of weekly current affairs show The Hui in the New Zealand Wars Collection. She's an alumnus of Te Karere 2020, RNZ, Campbell Live, Native Affairs. She's done it all. She's seen it all. Our second manuhiri I'm very excited to welcome is Peter Lucas Jones. He's the general manager of Te Hiku Media, widely regarded as one of the cleverest cookies in our industry. He's also on the Whakaata Māori Board, and he is the chair of Te Whakaruruho o Ngā Reo Irirangi Māori, the National Iwi Radio Network. Nau mai kōrua, thank you so much for coming on our podcast today.
Tēnā kōrua o tira, tēnā koutou katoa.
Ai, kia ora tātou, kahari te ngākau te whai wāhi atu ki a koutou i tēnei rā, kia ora tātou.
Kia ora. You're sort of more behind the scenes, so some of our listeners might not have heard of you before, so ko wai koe, nohi a koe?
Well, my name's Peter Lucas Jones. I come from Te Aupouri, Ngai Takoto, Te Rārawa, and Ngāti Kahu in the very far north, Te Hiku o Te Ika. I'm the CEO of Te Hiku Media, which is one of the 21 iwi radio stations in Aotearoa. We have a 30-year history gathering Māori language corpus, broadcasting in Te Reo Māori. And so that's really very much part of what we do. More recently, we've started to develop technology associated with natural language processing, teaching computers how to speak Māori, and that's always interesting, particularly in the area of pronunciation, intonation and rhythm, which is all a very important part of broadcasting in Te Reo Māori, getting your message across and making sure it's understood as you intend it to be. Nō reira, that's a little bit about me. Kia ora.
And then getting those computers to understand different meta, I imagine, is the next level of complication there.
Well, it certainly is when you're dealing with people that largely mispronounce Māori words. So when you think about understanding general te reo Māori and just as a Māori language speaker, listening to people that are making an effort and wanting to support and encourage them whilst also trying to find meaning in what they are trying to transmit is sometimes a difficulty just for humans. But at the same time, we manage to do it. So we've got a bit, we've got a data science project. And if we think about iwi radio or Māori radio transmits the largest amount of acoustic, indigenous acoustic data every day throughout the world. And so that's a major contribution to data science, in so much as acoustic data tells a story. It's not just about numbers. And that's the amazing thing about iwi radio. Iwi radio have been doing that for 30 years. And sitting alongside that is what we call trust and accountability. And when we work with our communities, it can take 30 years to build that, but it doesn't take much to stir up a bit of, you know, upsetness. So it's really important that as kaitiakitanga, when we're dealing with our taonga, we take it very seriously. And when we engage with Pākehā or Tauiwi, that we clearly make it understood that there are principles that we adhere to when working in our space. And that just because we are broadcasters or data scientists, we're very much adamant that there are ways that Māori things need to be dealt with. And that's from our unique perspective as tangata whenua.
We're talking this week about Māori media, the future of, the history of, a little bit, because this week is the 40th anniversary of Te Karere, first airing on television. And I would love to have you, Mahingarangi, sort of take us back a little bit to what it was like. You started on Te Karere, is that right? As a fresh young face?
Yes, 94. Oh my gosh, it was there's some of those images coming out and I'm fearful about what's coming tonight.
You've got the most beautiful 90s eyebrows in all the photos that I've seen. They look cool.
Yeah, oh, thank you. Yeah, 94. I had a really awesome tira, kapa, ropu that I started with.
Mm.
And actually, when I was looking at some of those pictures today, I saw Peter's tuakana on there when he was a protester, not a politician, waving his flag around. And I was thinking, look, there's Matua Shane in his heydays. But I remember, yeah, in 94, lots of our reporting was actually up north. We had Hirini Henare, and then we had our two tūhoe matriarchs, Tini and Henirangi. Then us young bucks, old Moko Tini, and myself and Mahine Kora were the cadets, if you like. And then we had our Joe Glens and Dan Hiramanarua, Martin Rakuraku. It was, yeah, it was a really cool crew. I'd come straight out of Aotearangi at Waikato Polytech. I went to learn how to speak te reo, you know, like less, more than just three words at once. And I was so fortunate coming out of that course, which was an amazing course, you know, teachers like Katarina Mataira and Boirangi Ho and Piti Waia Manawaiti and the likes. And then falling into that puna reo with all those native speakers, I was really, really lucky. Mm. It was incredible. And I never forget those days and what, you know, the experiences that we learned. I was just thinking today, actually, I remember my shift into mainstream media and how monocultural my reporting became for a good decade. And then I've been back doing Māori stories again the last 12 years. And how I've changed again and everything. And it's just in my work. Like at home, it's still, you know, I'm still hanging out with the kazis and still speaking Māori to my kids. But just my work had changed incredibly. And that's just that whole Māori worldview, the environment that you're sitting in. And that's what's so important about kaupapa like Te Karere and Te Ao, like Te Hiku.
So what was the difference for you? Like, what was the difference between pitching a story on Te Karere as opposed to pitching the story at TV3?
I'm smiling because this is the truth and you guys are going to understand me, but a wider audience might go, what? Like, I was just considering today how normal it was to talk about a kaupapa in the environment of, with those pakeke around us, like the Māori and the whai and, you know, whaingatas and herirangi and maihi. And you didn't just talk about what you heard and saw. There were so many other senses involved, you know, taha wairua, taha tikanga, kawa. And it wasn't strange that if someone went out in the field and came back and there was no vision on their tape, that we would just accept, oh, well, that wasn't a kaupapa to be recorded today. There was no fuss. Everyone just accepted, oh, well, you know, something was working against us or some tupuna didn't want that to happen or something like that. And that's just how it worked. And so you're completely working with all your senses on and you didn't have to think ahead of what you're going to say because everyone just accepted that world. Mm. And so when you shift into a mainstream world, you actually stop talking like that out loud because people look at you sideways and you actually start to lose your ability to connect to people our wairua nei. But coming back into reporting this way, you know, people say, oh, how did you get that story? And it's like, actually, I don't know. I think they found me somehow. I don't know how some whanaunga of theirs or someone, who knows? It's a hard question to even explain in English. But that's how this world works in journalism, I think.
Yeah, it's quite a fundamental difference, nee. Did you come up as a journalist, Peter Lucas, or have you got more of a tech background?
My background is Māori language. And so moku ake, I tupu ake ahau I tētahi wāhi, taha mai I tētahi marae. Ka mutu I ahau e tamariki ana I noho mai te māma o tō mātou pāpā, arā tō mātou krani māma ki tō mātou whare. Ka mutu hara I te mea kuia nahe, kuia me wana teina. And so, like, we grew up in an intergenerational home next to our marae, you know, we were at the beginnings of the kohanga reo concept. And so my dad's mother, who was born in 1892, she lived with us, and so too did her sisters for a time. And so we had the unique opportunity to be exposed to people talking Māori all the time. And so when you have three sisters in an environment together and their cousins and whatnot, you have the, I guess, the colloquialisms and idiomatic expression that is the cornerstone of conversational te reo Māori. And so we were very much part of that type of growing up, but also very much part of the protest movements that came from Te Reringa Wairua. As mentioned, my tribal affiliations are Te Aupouri, Ngai Takoto, Te Rārawa, and Ngāti Kahu. And so when we think about the different movements like Te Kawariki and how Waitangi has always been a gathering place for us to express our position on our rights and interests, I was very much raised in that environment. And moving on from there, I, you know, had always been involved in iwi radio since my early 20s. I think we all put our hand to doing some style of reporting. But I think reporting from a haukainga perspective is very different because it's all about relationships. And I think that Mihi Ngārangi has spoken quite clearly about that, growing that rapport and that trust with the people that you represent and that you report on and with is so important. Moving on from there, I worked for a time in Wellington and also on my iwi treaty settlement process and was recently appointed the chairman of Te Runanga Nui o Te Aupouri. And so when you live and breathe iwi radio, it becomes very much a connectedness and access to places, people, and stories. And if I was going to describe my Māori broadcasting experience, they taught us how to hold the keys to the kāinga. They taught us how to hold the keys to the kāinga and how to open doors to the kāinga. Knowing that it was so important that as technology evolved, so too would our tikanga. And when I think about things like that, our reporting style has been very different in so much as we started to live video stream kaupapa and events. And so we came from a very Māori language approach to broadcasting at Te Hiku o Te Ika. We have got a huge oral history archive. So we have over 45 marae in our broadcasting area. And over those 30 years, we have gone out and gathered kōrero. And that kōrero could be about a maunga. That kōrero could be about a moana. That kōrero could be about the ote tree. That kōrero could be about a plant, a rongoā. But if I was to break it down, it's all Māori data. We were collecting Māori data. And whilst we were collecting Māori data, the medium in which we had been taught by our kāinga, our mātua, our kaumātua, was to use broadcasting and storytelling and asking questions as a way of eliciting information. I've interviewed many, many kaumātua over my years of involvement in Māori broadcasting. Every time I spend time with one of our old people, one of our kuia, one of our kaumātua, there's a very different sort of experience that you have. Like for me, I always observe that sometimes they're not talking directly to you, but they are speaking into the future. They are speaking into the hearts and the minds of our mokopuna that have not grown up in the kāinga. For some of our whānau, the closest they get to their marae on an annual basis might be a screensaver on their computer. So our our dream at Te Hiku, and our dream was very much about connecting people back to the place, connecting people back to their identity, connecting people back to te reo Māori, connecting people back to tikanga Māori, and using entertainment and events to draw people in. So that's a little bit about my experience in reporting. So we would report, but in a different style.
One of the things that you and Mahinga Irangi have in common, oh, and Te Kuru as well, is I guess working in our Māori spaces when you're creating media and content by Māori for Māori, you are not subject to the Pākehā lens on what that content is. I mean, I can only assume as much that Māori television isn't getting flooded with complaints about the use of te reo on Māori television, nor on Te Hiku media. Hei anō, are there people that don't want Te Hiku or iwi radio to be and to exist? And do they tell you that? And do they talk to you about that?
In my experience, there's always a white supremacist element to the society that we live in. And if we think back to things like the doctrine of discovery, the placement of Pākehā people in our society, and how we have been marginalised in many different respects, it's always important to reflect that that's an element that exists, but we've never let that determine our future. Because for us at Te Reo Irirangi o Te Hiku o Te Ika, we were born out of a hui at Pōtahi Marae in Te Kau, and it was the kuia that wanted to have a station. And it was so that they had a way to communicate with one another, tell stories, speak to topical issues and current affairs in te reo Māori. And so we've always been from 6 in the morning to at least 3 o'clock in the afternoon, a predominantly Māori-speaking station. We were very different in that when we hark back to Richard Benson and his report on te reo Māori in 1979, there were different regions in Aotearoa that had managed to hold on to te reo Māori as not only a method of communication, but we're still transmitting it intergenerationally in some respect. And we are one of those places that, in spite of all odds, managed to hold on to te reo Māori as a method of communication for some time. But if you look throughout Aotearoa, colonisation and white assimilation has impacted on whānau, hapū and iwi in so many different ways. And I just mentioned that because we're also a very high population of Māori people in the far north of Aotearoa. Even the Pākehās here have some Māori ancestry. And that's saying something, you know what I mean? Like, what I mean is, you know that they're of Māori descent, but they may not see themselves as Māori people. But in the same sense, people are on an identity discovery sometimes. And so we try to encourage people to embrace their Māori tanga, their Māori identity, their Māori language in a way that can support their own growth. Because over the years, when we look at our parents' generation and that generation that has widely been disenfranchised by from their Māori tanga, I think it's important for us to note that sometimes there is a level of fear and a level of unknowing and a level of misunderstanding. So we've always used our broadcasting in iwi radio, particularly in Aorohe, as a way to uplift people. Of course, we do get emails and phone calls, and they generally come from a racist sort of element. We acknowledge that it exists, but we do not let it determine our future.
Kia ora. And it's this this kaupapa of the future of media that Mariana and Te Kuru and I had decided that when we decided we wanted to sort of visit the subject this week, that would be the thing that we wanted to talk about. You know, Te Huka is doing incredible things in the data space, and Mihi Ngarangi, you have developed and already delivered, I believe, the first program of your Kō Miro Miro journalism training program. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And also, what is the, how te tikanga o te ingoa Kō Miro Miro?
Kō Miro Miro is a manu, and that was a concept developed by Stacey Morrison, who's been working on that kaupapa as well. She explains it way better than me, but it's manu who takes bits and pieces from here, and there's quite a few whakatauki, and I think it's hō miro miro as well as kō miro miro, so he ingoa o te manu. I guess the reason that the kō miro miro kaupapa is you know, closely aligned with Peter and what those guys do up there and all around the country, there was funding available, and we thought because we have the capacity to actually put proposals in. So many of our whānau don't. They are just, you know, dealing with daily stuff all the time. So we thought we'd put something in and see what happens and see if we can plug a hole. And when we looked at the industry and the history of it, you know, we couldn't find any training from mainstream funding for, you know, a good 15, 20 years. So we thought, oh, well, let's start where all of our storytellers are and all the regions and you know, the ones that hold the keys to the regions and to their communities. And so the Iwi Network gave us their support, and so we put in a proposal for that, and it's been really incredible. We've had 74 kaimahi. I was going to say young, but we've had some of the aunties from up north too who are just over 21, some of them.
74, are we?
Yeah.
That's 74 awesome. Years.
The majority of them are young people, and boy, it really blew me away. I expected it because I knew that our people are such amazing storytellers, but I didn't expect the kounga of, ideas, of wānanga, of views, of reo, of tikanga, of knowledge. So, yeah, really blown away by that. And we delivered seven subjects, so arranged, you know, for example, in some towns around the country, the busiest place is your courthouse, but none of us would go down there and think that we'd want to report there because that's a place that we don't feel comfortable in. So it was about what kind of platform do you have at your iwi radio station, and how can you get involved in telling the news that might be, you know, and changing the narrative and the lens of that news. So, you know, we did court reporting and community, we did tribal and political. We even, you know, discussed how do we make boring political budgets, important or exciting for people to hear about. we did interviewing techniques. We had a range of Māori journalists like Latina Whitcliffe, Sekeriama Wrights, and then we had Pākehā too. Guy on Espana came along and taught people how to do interviewing, and it was really, really worthwhile. It's finished now, but there's lots of people still wanting to do it. So we're looking at trying to do a second round. Part of that project, and Peter and I haven't been able to connect, is to support the Whare Kōrero app, and to, because those guys are so busy up north, but to actually help people understand how they can take their little iwi station and the content that they're producing and, upload it into a national kind of platform.
Aye.
Yeah.
What's important to our taiohui, the young recruits or trainees that you worked with, what issues are they really passionate about talking about?
Well, first of all, the majority of them didn't think that anyone would care about the way that they told stories or their stories, which was really, really pissed me off. Because I thought we'd got past this, you know, that our kids feel like that. But, yeah, they still feel like that, which, kind of speaks to what Peter was talking about, the elements of white supremacy in the structures of our communities are still firmly in place. And creating barriers for our rangatahi, and not just rangatahi, I'm talking 20, 30-year-olds as well. But I think, you know, everyone is a really great broadcaster. That's what I've noticed on Ngāri o Irirangi. Everyone can sing. Everyone can broadcast. People can talk for hours at a time and interview the nannies and the rest of it. So really what they were interested in is just kind of sharpening up their skills and being helped to identify when they do an interview with, you know, Tommy Kapai down the road who does the housing kaupapa in Tauranga. They just wanted to know, like, what kind of story is that, I'd say. And I'd say, well, that's a housing, you know, that could be a housing story, could be a social issue story, it could be a poverty story. It's, you know, you've got the basis of your kaupapa there with your interview. Now it's about refining it and creating more content off the back of it. So it was really about the process of making news. They already had all the elements. Everything was already there. They just needed some help in turning their content into news and identifying that that's what they were doing. So, we get there in the end really quickly with them, and people are really interested in local body issues. I mean, none of them would have put their hand up for community local government reporting. But after they learnt what local government reporting meant, it meant water, it meant rates, it meant housing, they were like, oh my gosh, I care about all those things. And my auntie's running this and my mum's been fighting the council for this. And what about those people that are selling our water to make water bottles overseas? So all of a sudden everyone got passionate, and it was just about identifying what their passion was and refocusing that.
There seems to be quite a shortage. I mean, word going around is that there's a shortage of Māori reporters, and we've seen a big departure of people who have been holding down the fortress for a number of years, sort of growing out of those roles and going into communication roles, or setting up their own companies or government positions that are maybe much more comfortable, but well-deserved and recognised as well. But what do you think about this program and working with the 74? Does it give you hope for tomorrow? Because it seems like, although there's always criticism of Māori media, there's not always a lot of acknowledgement of how far we've come. Even if we do five-year sort of updates, you can look back, we're doing a lot more now than we were doing 5 years ago. So we know that as people who work in media, but those our whānau on the outside probably aren't as aware of all the mahi going on to get the better content out there. But does it give you hope working with all these young ones for a future, and what does that future look like?
Absolutely. I was so excited. All of us that participated in the training workshops, Annabelle Lee Mather and Stacey Morrison, Shannon Honui Thompson, even Guy on Espada, all of us, we were just blown away by the end of it. I'm absolutely certain, and I'm going to be around, you're going to be around, Leonie will be around. We just have to be there to support them into their next steps. And one of the biggest things, though, is that we need to change the system on the way that we, on how we gather our content, because I don't want to be taking Peter's kaimahi away from his station and dragging them down to Tāmaki. I already have one, D'Angelo Martin, and he's absolutely fantastic, but he's bought a house down here now and he's making his life. I think Peter's okay with that, but it wouldn't be, you know, the goal is not to bring people away from the East Coast and Ngāti Kahungunu and Gaitahu and all those kinds of places. The goal is, how does Te Kuru become a current affairs journalist working from Gisborne and feeding into multiple platforms through telling stories about his community through your lens? That's actually the goal. And we have to work with mainstream people like Peter and myself and Kawe Te Rongo and Ngā Ahu Whakaari to demand that this is what we need and this is the safest way to do it until those spaces are safe for our people.
He ao whakaaro ki era Peter Lucas, ki tērā kōrero. Mo te āpōpōtanga o te āpapāho e kōrero tia nei tātou.
Ai. Akoia tēnā ko te mea i ako nei o tātou mātua kia tātou anō. Arā te whakatupu i ngā pūkenga o te reanga e haere mai ana. Nā te mea ko rātou ngā mea ka mau, ka kawe i ngā hiahia me ngā moemoea mo te iwi Māori a ngā tau e haere ake nei. So, I mean, it's a great idea and it's great that it was resourced. It's great that it happened, particularly because it's largely run by whanaunga. It's largely run and organised by people that have roots in the iwi radio movement and people that our kaimahi not only have rapport with but respect for. And I think that's what's been missing largely from all of the training opportunities that have been put in front of us as iwi radio, because we actually learn on the job, because we are hubs in our community. We know that people come to us not only to have an interview about a particular kaupapa, but we might have three kuia arrive tomorrow that are, boy, can you print out my COVID pass? Can you laminate it for me? We have other roles in our community. And so we're always growing our ability to deal with multiple relationships at once. And I think that the opportunity with Ko Miro Miro honed in on some of the key issues in the kāinga, which continue to be jobs, water, and housing. And with our Whare Kōrero app, that really provided us an opportunity to see how people were consuming that content. That's a little bit of a story in its own right, because for us, whilst we are, a very rural station and that we're based all the way up in Kaitaia, more than 85% of our iwi members don't live at home. And most of them have not been born here. So they, for them, coming home is like going to the Wailing Wall, you know, in Israel. You know what I mean? But it's not always like that, you know. When you live in a kāinga, you know that, yes, we love the relations to come, but then we also like when they go back where they came from. You know, we don't always put out the welcome mat. And I mean, that's because the resources at home are very, very minimal. And we do the best to cope with a range of situations. And we do the best to express manaakitanga in the way that we know how. But when we think about the challenges that COVID presented us with, when we thought about, okay, we have to deal with the idea of people getting very sick and the fact that we only have two ventilators in Kaitaia Hospital. We already know that if you are a Māori person and you get sick and you have a heart attack and they don't call the helicopter to come to Kaitaia, it's probably not going to end well for you. But if you're in a Pākehā area, well, you know that generally there's going to be some type of service that will get you quickly to where you need to go to get some assistance. And the story of training and the story of being exposed to people that are better than you so that you can learn from them is similar for iwi radio. We are the last bastion of community radio, and we happen to also be a tāpapa, a seedbed. And we grow people. We grow skills and we grow speakers of te reo Māori. And we also grow people that can read a Māori situation. And you can't learn how to read a Māori situation in a textbook. And so I think iwi radio has a special, special place in the beginnings, in the present and in the future of Māori media, particularly when we think back to Ngā Nupepa Māori and you think of all the Māori media world of our grandparents. You think about all those Māori newspapers, the collections of those and the storytelling style that our kaumātua and our kuia employed to tell the news in their way. Whilst that might have come to an end in many respects, we see it has been revived in iwi radio. And we see that style of Māori storytelling is alive and well. And we now need to ensure that our rangatahi, our taitamariki, and indeed the adults that come to the workforce as our second language learners of te reo Māori have the tools and the know-how to employ those tools. That was what Ko Miro Miro presented Iwi Radio with. And because they were whanaunga that were leading it out, there was a connectedness that didn't present any challenges. In fact, it was like an online marae learning space.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. Pai te kōrero, pai te whakaro katoa ngā mihi nui kia kōrua kia te manuhiri o te rā nei. Thank you so much for joining us for this kōrero. It's what I wanted from this kōrero, which was to feel hopeful and uplifted about media. Thank you, both of you. That is all we have got time for today, but I encourage our listeners to find Te Hiku Media online or look for whoever your iwi radio station is in the rohe in which you reside. You can also download Whare Kōrero, which is the app which I believe collates all of our iwi radio net into one app.
Tēnā koe, Leonie. Tēnā koe te kuru o tira e te whanaunga e mihi ngā rangi. Tēnā koutou katoa.
Ai, tēnā koe, tēnā kōroa I ngā manuhiri. We will be back in 2 weeks' time. Until then, ngā mihi nui ki Te Aihe Butler for producing the show today. Tēnā rā atu e hoa. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Find us on Instagram, near Te Ao Māori Podcast. Until then, hei a kua nei. Ka kite.
NAIR is public interest journalism funded through New Zealand On Air and brought to you by the Spinoff Podcast Network. It was hosted and researched by Leonie Hayden with Te Kuru Jews and Mariana Johnson. NAIR was produced by Te Aihe Butler with senior production from Jane Yee and project management from Mark Kelleher. Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at the Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate. The Spinoff Podcast Network.